May our King be lifted up. May our King be lifted up. You know, this week we had what we consider a youth revival, or just a revival. Which a revival is, for those of you who might have drowned before, or you haven't had life before, some of y'all understand what I'm talking about. Some of us have been where we haven't had life before. Yeah, you might be breathing right now, but some of us have been to a point where we ain't had life before. Some of us are currently at that point where although we're breathing, we don't have life. There's a few of y'all that know what I'm talking about. Few of y'all have been there or have currently there. And then there's some of us that this might be going over your head because you still ain't embraced it yet. So we had a revival this week. And the theme of the revival was, let's be ready. Let's be ready. So you might ask, what are you trying to be ready for? You might ask, what are you trying to be ready for? But the reality is all of you know exactly what we're talking about when we say, let's be ready. Because the reality is that you came to church this morning because you're looking for something. The reality is you understand that there is a heaven, and you understand that there is a hell. And some part of you believe that I need to make this thing right. I need to make my calling and election sure. Amen. At the end of the day, that's why we all come to church. Some part of us. We might have other motives. Maybe. But you still coming, as the young brother mentioned, to get you some fast food. To get you a little bit of encouragement. But before we get completely in the word, let us pray. Dear kind and heavenly Father, please forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. But oh God, I just thank you for this opportunity, Father. And your word, it says, compel them to come to the dinner table. Father, I pray that it's somebody out here starving today. Lord, I pray that it's somebody starving like Marvin, as they say. Somebody that's spiritually starving. Father, somebody that understands that their salvation is at stake. And Father, I pray that after you speak, they might be willing to make the choice, which is accepting you fully into their hearts, oh God. Humble me. Allow your children not to see Wes here, but to truly just see a humble manservant of yours, oh God. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So some of the topics this week have been, do you really believe? Do you really believe? The second topic was almost Christian. You know, Tabari had a whole bunch of good quotes in his sermon. And if you missed it, maybe we recorded. We got a lot of good technology around here. But he asked, or he said this, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, I was once at a point where I believed a little bit. I knew that there is a God, but there was a part of me that still had some unbelief. A part of me that wanted to take things in my own hand. Some of y'all been there. Some of y'all been there. And the two young women that's sitting down to be baptized right now recognize and they truly believe that they truly have to surrender. And as is the case when we talked about almost Christian, when we become fully Christian, we understand that we can't partway surrender, but that we have to completely surrender. So what is surrendering? Surrendering is throwing up the white flag. If you've ever been in a battle, who was the boxer, pastor, help me here, you a boxing fan. Sugar Ray and Hector Camacho. What'd he say? No mas, no mas, no mas. Durant, Roberto Durant. And he was supposed to be a bad booger, wasn't he? Sugar Ray wouldn't have put them things on him. No mas, no mas. The brother surrendered. The brother surrendered. He surrendered. When we are not no longer almost Christians. Because see, at one point in time, I was an almost Christian. I was an almost Christian. How many of you were almost Christians? How many of you are still, and I expect quiet here, are currently still an almost Christian? I don't come to put you out there. What I come to do is encourage you to no longer be an almost Christian, but to fully make that choice and to fully surrender to our God, which goes into the scripture today. The title is, It's Time to Make a Choice. It's time to make a choice. And this choice ain't just a regular choice. This choice has to deal with eternity. This choice has to deal where you decide you want to spend eternity. Yeah. This choice is going to give you the opportunity to say, I'm for God or I'm for the devil. Man. I shoot it straight. I don't sugarcoat it. It's not black and white. Yeah. I'm not here to try to fool you. Yeah. So your choice today will be, I choose to serve God or I choose to serve the devil. And I choose to serve all the other gods that I place before him. Is it all right if I'm honest today? And I promise you this, if I offend you, I do not mean it. But the scripture says this, since Joshua, giving his last cry, his last sermon. Joshua 24, and we'll start at 14. So honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. Key scripture now, 15. But if you are unwilling, members out there, audience, but if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, young people, but if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose today. Choose today. Choose today. April 20th. Is it 20th? Or no. April 19th, 2014. Choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors? Serve beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But then he goes on and says this. But I'm going to put my name here. But for Wes Davis III, me and my family, Maria, Lex, we will serve the Lord. So men, it's a call to you as well. For you and your family, Dennis, you and Tamara, you will serve the Lord. You got to put that call on yourself. The choice today is yours. So choices, we see choices, choices, definition, the art of choosing, selection, the power, right, or liberty to choose. It's an option. It's an option. Isn't it a blessing that God gave us an option? He gave us an option. He didn't force you to have to serve him. Didn't make you do it. Ain't gonna make you do it. The power or right or liberty to choose. Once again, the option. The encyclopedia describes the word choice like this. Consists of a mental decision of judging the merits of multiple options and selecting one or more of them. And we generally select it based on the best one. I'm going to show you something here real quick. I have my brother come up. Damon. Damon. Come here. Come here. I'm going to show you something. See, The cyclopedia, it describes the word choice like this. It's a mental decision. Come here, bro. Now I'm going to have my daughter come up who loved me. Come here, Lux. Come here. This is Big Dame. Little Dame with him. Okay, my daughter here, Lex, she likes to play basketball. Okay? I like to play too. Big Dame like to play as well. Now she gonna make a choice here. Lex, who do you want on your basketball team? Me or Big Dame? You're not in trouble. Go ahead. Make your choice. Who do you want to pick? It's okay. The best person that you feel will make you win. Who do you want?
It's okay. You won't get in trouble, baby.
Damon.
Pick Damon. Wonder why?
Why'd you pick Big Damon?
Because he's big.
Thank you, guys. Now, there was a method to my madness. Now, she probably would win. That's Big Dame, you know. So you made a good choice. Good choice. So now, how does this wrap in? See, choices are made, once again, based on feelings, what others think, based on facts. It's proven that the bigger guys are generally better ball players, right? Bigger, stronger guys are generally better ball players. Look in the NBA. How many guys are in there 5'8", my height? One, two, maybe. So she made a good choice. But the choice we're talking about today is the choice of salvation. It's the choice of choosing which God are we going to serve. Are we going to choose man-made gods? Man-made gods? Whether it be the club? Whether it be a job, whether it be school. Oh, don't be confused. There's a lot of things that cover themselves up that are gods. And they may seem good. Now, some of y'all might understand this better. We might think gods are the streets, drugs, gods. What gods are we deciding to choose today? What gods are we choosing to serve? Is it the opposite sex? Is it sex? Is it school and bookworks? Books before God? Jobs before God? What gods are we choosing to serve? What gods are we choosing to serve? So let's start first. First of all, we need to learn about the different gods. Let's learn about God first. So first of all, some of us might have forgot what our God has done for us. Because as we drop down in Joshua 24 and we start at 16, the people realized after Joshua laid out to them everything that God has done for them. The people replied, "We would never forsake the Lord and worship other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God." Have you forgotten what God has done for you? See, some of us have been in situations where even when we were in mess, God was still there for you. When you made choices that you ain't had no business making, when you made the wrong choice, God was still there for you. Some of y'all can think of it. When you were in the crack house, God was still there with you. When you OD'd, God was there with you. When you were rolling by on some guys that you had no business rolling by on and some bullets missed you, God was still there for you. Or when some bullets touched you and they wondered, how are you still alive? God was still there for you. Or when you couldn't pay your bills, you ain't had a dollar to your name, God was still there for you. And when your parents split up and you didn't recognize, how am I gonna survive without a mom and a dad? God was still there for you. And when you had that child and that guy left you, and you said, how can I raise this baby all by myself? God was still there for you. Or maybe you were just a basic person. You don't have a big testimony. And you were just coasting by. Because, see, that's the danger zone. When we just coasting by. But then when it clicked that God tells me I got to serve him wholeheartedly, God was there for you. When you started doing that much better, you realized that God was there for you. So have we forgot the God that we serve? You know, my favorite song is by Marvin Sapp. And it only sees the best in me. When everyone else sees the worst in you, he only sees the best in you. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Somebody's been told before, you ain't nothing. Somebody's been told by their mom or dad, you ain't gonna amount to nothing. Somebody's been told by this world, all you are is a crack addict. All you are is a junkie. Somebody's been told by this world that your skin is a little too dark. But God was still with you. God was still with you. Have we forgot that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life? But it don't stop there. For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world. Did not send his son to condemn you. So I didn't come by today to condemn you. I came by today to encourage you. I came by to let you know that God sent his one and only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I come by just to let you know that he don't want to condemn you for your sins, because he's your redeemer. He don't care what you done 5 minutes ago. He don't care what your thoughts were 1 second ago. All he care about is you right now, because he want to save you, 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 and me. He want to serve all of us. So the choice is yours. The choice is to serve a forgiving God. A forgiving God. Some of you thinking about the choices you made before where you needed forgiveness. And some of you probably right now are thinking about the choices you made that the people that were supposed to be the closest people to you ain't still forgave you yet. But we serve a God that's forgiving. Not only is he forgiving, but he's also gracious. He's also gracious. See, when you deal with people, you realize that people, they can be gracious to a certain extent. But then when you realize and you make the choice to serve God, you thank him for the grace that he's given you. Some of y'all have experienced his grace. But then, not only is he forgiving, not only is he gracious, but he's also merciful. But he's also merciful. And not only is he merciful, because see, before, when we were growing up, a lot of times, I think we've all been there, where when we were 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, we thought God was just waiting for us to do something wrong, and then the picture was painted, he gonna strike you down, right? That was the picture that was painted to us. But then when we become a part of God and we truly understand him, we realize that he's slow to anger. He's slow to anger. He's not waiting for you to mess up to be angry at you. All he want to do is love you. Now you say, where are you getting this stuff at? Where are they describing God at? Couple scriptures for you. Nehemiah 9:17. Psalms 103:8. Also Joel 2:13. And then Psalms 145:8. Those scriptures tell you once again that he's forgiving, that he's gracious, that he's merciful, that he's slow to anger. In the words in this Bible ain't just words written by men. These words are words that were inspired to these men by God himself. So it's not just words. This is God talking to you directly. So he is also our redeemer. You know, sometimes you may go to a store and you try to redeem a coupon and you can't redeem it. But God is always ready to redeem you. God is always ready to redeem you. Once again, no matter where you've been, no matter all the mess you've done, no matter all the wrong you've done, God is there to redeem you. Isn't that sweet? No matter how many tests, math tests, young people, you might have cheated on, he's there to redeem you. No matter how many times you've cussed out your earthly parents, he's there to redeem you. No matter how many times you had a horrible attitude about coming to church, he's there to redeem you. No matter how many times you lied, he's there to redeem you. No matter how many times you've smoked a little something, he's there to redeem you. No matter how many times you've slept with multiple people, he's there to redeem you. No matter what, he's there to redeem you. He's there to redeem you. But we got to decide who we want to, the choice we want to make, the God we want to serve. Because also, God Almighty is a jealous God. He lets you know that you can't serve multiple gods. You know, and some of us, we're trying to serve multiple gods. We're trying to do it all. And I don't know what the gods might be in your life. Some of those gods might be, I got to get my education. I got to get my doctorate. Some of those gods might be money. Some of those gods might be, I got to push these streets hard. Some of those gods might be contentment. I'm cool where I'm at. Some of those gods might be judging people. Some of those gods might be judging people. Some of those gods might be, I need to look at somebody else and see everything they do wrong so that way I can feel better about myself. Some of those gods might be that. And all those gods come from Satan himself, the devil himself. So when we start choosing other gods, we choosing to partner up with the devil. Now, we need to understand the person we partnering up with. You need to know who's on your team. So we learned before that God is a forgiving God, a merciful God, a God slow to anger, a God who redeems us. Now, if we want to join the devil's team and serve other gods, we need to learn about who the devil is. John 10 and 10 makes it very clear who he is. The thief's sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. His sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, how? The club sometimes ain't doing nothing to me. Well, see, his ultimate plan is to get you in position where he can set you up. Because, see, sometimes the immediate consequences might not be felt immediately. Might not be felt immediately. Jump over to Genesis chapter 3. We'll show you with Eve real quick. Here it goes. Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the creatures the Lord God had made. Really? He asked the woman. Did God really say you must not eat any of the fruit in the garden? Of course we may eat it, the woman told him. It's only the fruit from the tree at the center of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God says we must not eat it or even touch it or we will die. And this old Satan, once again, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is a liar, he is a deceiver, and he is very crafty. So he will set you up. He will set you up in a trap. Every time. Here he is now, telling his old crafty lie. And some of his lies is sprinkled with the truth. You won't die, the serpent hissed. God knows that your eyes will be open when you eat it. You will become just like God, knowing everything, both good and evil. She was convinced. She was convinced. Now, how did she get there? How did she get there? It comes like this. I said, some of the things we do initially, we can't, the consequences aren't there immediately. But when we hang around, people wonder why, young folk, how come it's not all right for me to party? How come it's not all right for me to go to the club? How come it's not all right for me to stay laying down with every person I see? Well, first, let's attack the club thing. You keep going. What's at the club? You got the bar. What's in the bar? You got alcohol. If there's somebody in here that's been an alcoholic before, can tell you why that's a dangerous game to play. Why should I not have sex before I'm married? Okay, well, you might sleep with somebody. Nothing happened. Skated through there real clear. But now I keep going. Now I got a child out of wedlock. For those of you that have children out of wedlock, understand all the extras that come with that. Because you might decide that I want to have another family one day. See, the consequences didn't just hit you, but it also hit the child as well. Well, I don't like studying for my tests. Well, when you do that, what happens? Now I'm tempted to cheat. I'm tempted to lie. I don't gotta study. I can just peek over at my buddy's test. See, when we hang out, and what Eve was doing was constantly, please believe, I know it wasn't just one day she went right there. She was hanging out. Hanging out. Hanging out. Now, when Satan can get you constantly to hang out, to hang out, to hang out, then that's when he gets you and knocks you right out. Because he's got you. Because the consequences you didn't immediately hit. It didn't even immediately get you. So what is all this? Since the beginning, Satan has been tempting people. Satan has been tempting people. And the question is this. Do you want to join his side? Where he is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you? And I want you to know, you might not lose your life here on earth, but you might lose your eternal life. No might to it. You will lose your eternal life. If I ask you by a show of hands, who want to make it to heaven, raise your hand. That should be every hand in the church house. I'll ask it again because there's some hands still down. Who wants to make it to heaven, raise your hand. So you see, every hand in this building has went up. So today the choice is yours. Who do you want to serve? Do you want to serve the gods that would lead you to destruction? Or do you want to serve a God that is saying today, I forgive you. I'm full of mercy. I'm full of grace. My mercy and grace endures forever. Or do you want to serve the devil and all the other little gods, where his main mission is to steal, kill, and destroy? It's not a game, people. It's not a game. This earth is not our last resting place. And when you die, all it is a little dash on the tombstone for you. But God is telling you, I'm giving you an opportunity at eternal life. All you got to do is put me first. It's all you got to do is put me first. Now, we think when we decide to make the choice to serve God that we're losing out on a lot of stuff. God is protecting us because he loves you. He loves you. You know, a lot of us are looking for friends. We're looking for friends. But friends let us down. How many of you, by a show of hand, has been let down by people before? How many of you have ever been let down by God before? And we'll talk afterwards. If you feel like you've been let down by God, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a trap. It's a trap. But God tells you this, when you're looking for a friend, when you're looking for a partner, when you're looking for a girlfriend, I'll let you know they can leave you or they can forsake you sometimes. But when we look to God, we serve a God that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, you might find yourself in a position where all you can do is cry out to him when everybody else has turned their back on you. You might find yourself down and out, but God tells you, I won't leave you or forsake you. God is there. God is there. But we have to choose him. Now, in choosing him as parents and families, when you were out there before, God had his hand over you. He had his hand over you. Now, for those of you that are young adults, close into my age, I got a serious cry for you. You got to start giving your kids some of this. Because your parents gave you this. And that's why you're able to still come back. That's why you got a little in the tank still. They used the analogy about the car the other day. You're not going to stop when you're on empty, is what Tabari said. If you need to get to the gas station, you're going to keep pushing. See, a lot of us still are trying to get to the gas station spiritually. And when you come in here, you're filling up your tank. And throughout the week, you're going to run low. And that's all right. But you get back in here. But as I mentioned, young people close to my age that's having kids, start getting your kids and your family to church. Start getting them in here. Because even though when I look at our young people, I know sometimes it goes way by y'all. But it sticks. It sticks. And that's why we all, when we recognize, when we something bad happens, what does everybody say? Pray to God. Pray to God. Pray to God. Because somebody gave it to you when you was little. What you have to do now is start giving it to the young people. Give it to your little babies. Give it to your babies. Now, the call is simple. I'm wrapping up here. Wrapping up here. Ain't nothing pretty about it. If today we got two young ladies, they decided to surrender, and they decided to make the choice to give their life to God. The first call is this, is maybe it's somebody out there sitting down right now that you know, that you know, that you know, that I need to do the same. I need to make a choice and serve him. Then I'm going to invite you to come stand with me and my pastor right now. It's a very simple choice. Because see, maybe all your friends and stuff ain't here right now. It's like Nicodemus crept to the Lord in the nighttime. Say, what I got to do? What I got to do? So you need to be born again. Well, he was confused by that. Then he said, how has that happened? By water. So some of you might be feeling, man, it's nighttime. None of my partners is here. I'm going to go ahead and make this thing happen. Because you only here today because the Holy Spirit been nudging at you. It's been nudging at you. It's been nudging at you. Okay, so nobody there. But here it is. If maybe you want to make the choice to recommit yourself. Maybe you've been making choices to put other gods before God. And you know right now that if the Lord was to come today, I wouldn't make it to heaven. This is a very real call. Like I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. So if you know that you wouldn't be ready today, if you know you wouldn't be ready today, you come on out that pew and walk down and join me. If you know that you wouldn't be ready today, if you know that, but maybe you're saying, well, Wes, I was too bad of a dude. I did too much dirt. I told you God is a forgiving God, a merciful God. It's a trick of the enemy. I told you Satan, he only wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He lying to you right now. Just talking to somebody at work and they said, I don't know what to do because I did too much junk back in my day. Well, back in your day was yesterday. It's history. See, the question is this. If you know you're not ready today, you come join us. It's straightforward. No sugarcoated. We'll give it about 60 seconds. Because I can see some of us might be thinking about it. I'm not ready today. And don't let the fear of everybody else on what they might be thinking stop you. Because they might not be ready. Don't let that fear stop you. So you got an opportunity. We got 30 seconds. Or if you just simply want to stand, maybe you don't feel like I need to be rebaptized. You just want to say, hey, I'm standing up and I'm telling you, I'm standing with you right now. I'm saying I'm making the choice to serve only God and no other gods. I'm inviting you to stand. Encourage somebody. Or if you made the choice and you want to just stand on a whole nother level, then I'm inviting you to stand also. The choice is to serve God. Choose today, April 19th. Because see, here's the thing. With some of our choices, they can lead to destruction. We can lose our life. You know, I can tell you this. If you don't make the choice to serve God right now, you might not get that choice again. You know, I remember it like it was day. I remember it just like it was the other day. April 23rd, 2006. My family remember that as well. We just had communion. But that evening, my little brother, he made a choice. He didn't know that he wouldn't be able to make any more choices in his life. He didn't know that. So young people, you might think I'm young. But I had a 16-year-old brother who was probably the coolest 16-year-old, most popular 16-year-old, and I don't say that to brag. So I know he felt that he was invincible. And it's okay, because that's the thoughts of a child. So young person right now, if you feeling like, young man, I need to make this choice right now to serve God, walk out your seat and join. Walk out your seat and join. Amen. Amen. God, we just thank you today. Father, and we thank you for the choices that have been made. Father, I pray that you will help us all to make the choice. And God, maybe some of us still are debating making that choice. But Father, you told Joshua, you got to be courageous. To make this stand with you, Father, we must be courageous. So I pray that you would give us the courage every day to make the choice to serve you and to put the other gods down. The mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.